Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Canada. I learned from Conrad Black writing at the National Post quite some time ago that Canada has its Bill of Rights. It's not called exactly the same as it is in the U.S. It's referred to as the Charter. It dates from the 20th century. 1960 and 1982 are important dates. However, it's very similar to much of the Bill of Rights in the U.S. from the 18th century on the matter of speech, on the matter of freedom of expression, except, Conrad, a very good evening to you. This is an alarming story coming after your column on Jordan Peterson and what appears to be abuse of Mr. Peterson's rights and professional career, following the stories you've written about the truckers who were abused at the time for rejecting or challenging the mandate about masks and the virus and the COVID and what they could and couldn't do to earn their living crossing the border into the United States. And that very much reminds me of the larger story we've been talking about, the Graves story, about whether there were or were not Native Canadian children in those graves who died at the hands of a malignant state. All of that has raised the controversy in your country. And now I hear there's a similar controversy with a man named John Carpe, who looks like a one-man ACLU in the old days. He objected to the mandates from Ottawa during the pandemic, most of all of which now are revealed by the people who were in power at the time as based on nothing but anecdote and obedience schools. So introduce John Carpe. What is it that he's said to have done, and how has he been punished for it, and why? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, he is the founder of a civil rights watchdog group and activist group, but responsibly activist, you know, a constitutional center for justice and freedom or something like that. And during the pandemic in this country, as in the U.S., there were these lockdowns, and there were persistent rumors that a number of prominent people in government were ignoring the lockdowns, including in the province of Manitoba, which is just north of, I guess it would be north of Minnesota. That the Chief Justice of that province and the Premier, the equivalent of the Governor, and one of the chief figures in the civil administration of the civil service of the province, that they were all ignoring these rules. That they didn't wear masks. They went to parties and they put these rules through and imposed the shutdown on the population that ignored it themselves. So John Carpe hired a perfectly respectable private investigation firm to put a bit of a trail on these three high office holders, not to trespass and not to do anything illegal, and certainly not to harass them, but to keep an eye on them as best they could and see if they were obeying the rules that they were imposing on the public. And I mean, I don't understand what's wrong with that, but it was pursued not incidentally in the courts as as a legal offense against the individuals, as a trespass or a harassment or an intrusion of some sort, but rather professionally, and this is where your comparison with the Jordan Peterson case comes in, because he was harassed by the College of Psychologists, not by the Attorney General. So they did establish the fact that John Carpe had engaged these investigators to follow these people, and then civilly sued him, and really tied him up in knots for a long time, running up his legal bills, and then finally settled if he would consent to retire from the bar of that province. Now, he doesn't live in Manitoba, and he doesn't practice law for a living, so he didn't see it was a great sacrifice, so he did. And Alberta, where he does live, is in nearby province, farther west. It goes right up into the Rocky Mountains, Calgary, Edmonton, and prosperous, well-known cities. And they had said, well, we've delegated all this to Manitoba, but it's nothing to do with us. And then they declined to follow up on that and said, no, we're going to do the same with our bar association. We're going to expel him from that and sue him for wrongful conduct. Again, it's a civil suit. It's not the Attorney General accusing him of a statutory infraction. It's a civil suit for an alleged breach of other people's rights. And this is, you know, he's not a man of unlimited means, and he's not set at the head of a great bureaucracy. He's trying to run this center that does do a useful job and is well respected. And they're effectively trying to make it impossible for him to continue to be a watchdog on civil rights and human rights in the community he lives in. And it just struck me as another example of this method of singling out someone who is, from the official standpoint, out of line because he is taking a traditional and very justifiable but controversial position on the rights of the individual opposite the state, and they're just trying to shut him down and bully him. And that's not what the Bar Association is supposed to be doing, and it's not what our governments are supposed to be doing. And as you said in your intro, there is a very elaborate Charter of Rights and Freedoms that certainly defends every reasonable liberty, and yet these people who are responsible for upholding it are in fact violating it.
And there's the puzzle, because I see a common theme here. The idea is that if you dissent, we may punish you for it. That's certainly exactly what happened with the truckers. It's happening with Jordan Peterson because he refuses to acknowledge either censorship or people mandating what he must say. You know, I reversed myself. I was wrong. And when it comes to the graves, you've pointed me to authors who've written a book demonstrating that there's nothing to this rumor. It's like an urban legend. And yet there's still persecution going on. People regard others with disdain, even though there's no evidence. So what is driving this? Is it the government? Is it in Ottawa? Where's the parliament on this? Do they stand up and object?
Well, the opposition members do. But I think we're coming to a head in the election in this country next year. I think this will be part of it, where the main opposition party is certainly going to claim that the incumbent federal government has failed in its duty to protect the rights of the population. I mean, if governments, you know, of all the responsibilities that a government of a country has, protecting the rights of the people, along with protecting the country against other countries, and you know, maintaining the finances of the country, those are its chief purpose. Otherwise, what do we need a government for? And they're not doing it, and it will be an issue. And I mean, all the polls indicate that there's a good deal of discontent with this high-handed attitude of both the federal and provincial government, that they can decide what opinions should be heard, and they will narrowly manage the conduct of people. And it is the contention of most people in this country. They have no standing to do anything of the kind.
I'm reminded of the truckers. Has that been resolved in any fashion? Have the truckers been apologized to and the bank accounts that were either threatened or confiscated? Has that all been put back together?
We're in the final stages of it now. The Supreme Court finally determined that the federal government had exceeded its authority, that it had no right or justification to claim that there was an emergency in progress that would justify them to take such high-handed measures. So the lawsuits that the truckers had taken were obviously likely to be successful. So there is now extensive negotiation about how much of the taxpayers' money the government doles out to these truckers, which is not an obligation they should have incurred in the first place. They had no business treating them as they did.
Has there been an apology from the prime minister or his office for their intemperate words?
Not so far. And you're perfectly right that he should make an apology. He claimed that when they were still hundreds of miles away driving towards the capital of the country, that they were bad people, you know, homophobes and misogynists. I mean, he didn't know anything about them. There's perfectly reasonable working men. But and we have not got the apology yet, no.
Conrad Black, writing at the National Post about John Carpe, who certainly seems to be abused by what sometimes in other countries is called lawfare. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.